This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio, 1743. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world, above all, shortwave. On this edition, recorded October 16th, Australia, Bolivia, Brazil, Chile, China, Colombia, Cuba, Ecuador, Ethiopia, Europe, Germany, Hong Kong, Ireland, Madagascar, Mongolia, Myanmar, North America, Peru, Rwanda, Sarawak, Spain, Turkey, USA, Vatican, and the Propagation Outlook. Standard disclaimer, I've been looking through the latest version of Radio Australia's online program schedule since there have been a lot of changes, partly due to the shift daylight shifting time in Australia at the beginning of October, and partly because they're undergoing radical changes in funding. There are two programs which are marginally qualify for inclusion in our listing of DX, SWL, and media programs. I'd feared they might have been lost in the shuffle, but I still find them at these times. Future Tense is at Sundays at midnight 30 UT and Thursdays at 03:30. Download This Show is at Sundays at 10:05, Mondays at 16:30, Tuesdays at 03:30, and Tuesdays at 18:30. You'll find all the frequencies in effect at these hours at our DX programs list via worldofradio.com. The shortwave service is almost an afterthought to the large budget cuts facing the ABC in Australia, meaning television primarily. John Filiozzi's found a couple of stories in The Guardian about the situation. On October 13th, ABC's managing director, Mark Scott, said, "Why would you weaken the ABC at a time when the rest of the media is in turmoil?" Savage budget cuts to ABC would mean not only axing some TV and radio programs, but potentially reducing the number of ABC television channels. Scott says the impact on programs depends on how big the cuts were and when the cuts come into effect. The ABC runs five TV channels. Number two is edgier and would be most vulnerable. The government's expenditure review committee is expected to decide on ABC cuts in mid-November. And the other story says Mark Scott has called on the government to end 5 months of uncertainty around the size of the ABC's funding cut and reminded Tony Abbott of his pre-election promise not to touch the budgets of the public broadcasters. He says perhaps one of the greatest lessons of the ABC's history is that while governments have come and gone, public affection and respect for the ABC has lasted and prevailed. Regarding that Chilean pirate I mentioned last week, RCW, Claudio Galas in Chile, on the Condish list, explains its schedule. Although it's irregular, it is more or less as follows according to monitoring. Fridays, Saturdays, or Sundays on 6925 a.m. from 18 or 20 UT until 22 or 23. That is mostly in the local daytime. And on 7550 a.m. from 23 until 04 or 05 UT. Sometimes also on weeknights. You might find more about it if you find them on Facebook.com under RCW Radio Compañía Worldwide. On his Mount Evelyn DX blog from Australia, Rob Wagner says on October 1st, at the height of the peaceful Hong Kong protests, "I noted BBC via Thailand on 12010 with heavy jamming of the English service to East Asia at 2315 UT. Yes, jamming of BBC has been going on for a long time now, but currently I suspect Beijing is most concerned that its citizens might hear about those naughty Hong Kong residents getting too uppity over their freedom and democracy. I also checked the Singapore transmitter on 11850 at the same time and found that it was not jammed at all. I've noticed that one of the two Colombian stations left on shortwave has been rather irregular lately, 5910 Al Caravan Radio, and here's why. Manuel Menes in Spain tells DSW CIDX Window, in the last weeks I was not able to receive the station. At sunrise here in Spain, Rafael Rodriguez from the station, he's the QSL manager, let me know that the transmitter suffered a breakdown and is on the air on a reduced schedule, but they are working to repair it. It's always something. There's never a dull moment with the poorly managed and engineered Cuban shortwave broadcasting. On October 9th at 0610, I found the English frequency 6165 distorted and with suppressed modulation splashing way out during the music. 6,000 kilohertz was off the air, as it often is between 05 and 06, but this was after 06. 5025, the Radio Rebelde frequency in Spanish at the same time, I found to be mixed with Radio Havana English audio, and there were two transmitters on 5025 because they were making a subaudible heterodyne of 1.6 hertz. The Spanish was slightly louder, and there was so much cacophony I was wondering if there was a second Spanish audio in a three-way mix, which could have been Radio Havana Cuba programming. 5040 was off as it normally is after 0600. From ADX via Christoph Ratzer via BCDX, roughly Google translated from the original German, we have some info about the reactivated HCJB in Ecuador on 6050. Horst Rosiak, the person in charge there, says our engineers got the elderly transmitter going again. They got some capacitors. It took a while because they had to be imported from the USA. The long-term goal is a fully transistorized transmitter, plug and pray, with a power of 10 kilowatts. Depending on a generator in case of emergency, because the current power supply is not sufficient. By the way, he suggests people should apply for a QSL card via postal mail from HCJB in Ecuador. Some are illustrated on their website, andenstimme.org, although they do also QSL by the web. But if you get one with an IRC for return postage, you'll also get a lot of beautiful stamps on the envelope. Ron Howard in California reports hearing Radio Oromia, Ethiopia, via Long Path on 6030, October 14th at 1445 to 1505, thanks to China National Radio being silent on the frequency. It's possible to again hear Radio Oromia with a monologue in vernacular and nice Horn of Africa singing, sounded like news at the top of the hour. On the Euro pirate scene, Chris Lobdell in Massachusetts says Radio Magic 6200 AM was heard September 30th and October 1st from 2356 past midnight 47 UT with an SIO rating of 444, a new station with a presumed transmitter in Ireland. But this night it was identifying as Radio Magic International. It's also been relaying laser hot hits with the frequency change to 6205. They have a website, www.magic6205.com. They're still testing with a November 1st launch date for regular programming and will be issuing QSLs. Tim Tromp in Michigan in the Mayor Tip Sheet says they've been coming in pretty well the last few evenings. And here's some more info about it found at HF Underground, besides what I just mentioned. If you could give us a couple of weeks to get things sorted, we'll make sure all reports are responded to. Until launch, we'll be testing with a combination of automated music and relays of our friends at Laser Hot Hits, who'll be playing a part in our full-time schedule once launched. Transmissions will be interrupted a fair bit between now and November for technical work. John Hode in England tells us he was hearing Laser Hot Hits October 11th from TuneIn at 0710 on 6205 S9. The program was 30 seconds ahead of the web stream. And on October 14th, a very strong carrier on 6205 from around 07 UT sprang into life at 725 with music and laser hot hits ID. This was also heard by Kenneth Vidodziki in Michigan in the Mayor Tip Sheet. Laser hot hits on 6200, October 4th between 0215 and 0305. And October 5th between 0337 and 0447, and still in at recheck 0600 UT. So it appears they are using considerable power. In PlayDX Electronic of 12 October, we read Radio Europe shortwave testing on 6875. Alex Bertini, manager of Radio Europe in Pioltello, says it's active on shortwave with tests on Sunday at 19:30 till 22 UT. Reports to Radio Europe at IOL.IT. That's on 6875. Here's another report of Radio El Dorado, believed to be in Portugal, from Dave Valco in Shortwave Bulletin. He's in Pennsylvania. 17230 USB, October 4th at 2137. Peaking about 2145, about 40 hertz above 17230. And also barely audible at 2153 with continuous music. The HFCC website has now put up tentative schedules for the new B-14 season, which begins the last Sunday in October, involving lots of time and frequency changes. Steve Luce in Texas has been looking at Deutsche Welle registrations. He says favorable English beams for North America at 0400 are gone, but you might hear them via Madagascar at 0500 on 15275. And the English hour at 06 has been moved to 0700. Kigali beams on 11800 and 12005 are favorable for North America. All of this is not exactly final, and one version of the schedule shows a reduction in evening broadcasts of English from Deutsche Welle via Rwanda, leaving only these, 19:30 to 20:30 on 17800, and 20:30 to 2100 on 15275. Those are on the 295 degree antenna, which should be favorably directed to North America if they will be propagating that late. That info in BCDX. Kai Ludwig in Germany, however, says those evening transmissions, afternoon here, may not be on the final schedule, and has some more info about what's going on behind the scenes at Deutsche Welle. The Chinese service is again under severe fire, this time due to a controversial cooperation with China Central TV and the firing of a freelancer. A number of freelancer positions at DW are to go. Much unrest is around, with the wildest speculations already projecting a complete closure of their headquarters in Bonn, increasingly resulting in open self-censorship. The descriptions read like stuff one would have believed to be out of fashion in Germany for 25 years, he says. Furthermore, on October 13th, protesting Kurds invaded the lobby of the Deutsche Welle building in Bonn. Radio Netherlands may be all gone from the airwaves, but their website claims they're still accomplishing something, as found by BBC Monitoring on October 9th. In the past weeks, RNW's unblockable Chinese language site Paopao covered the widespread protests in Hong Kong. The demonstrations culminated in a complete standstill of the city's key financial district and its economic lifeline. Paopao is all about what the protesters were calling for: free speech, good governments, and democracy. They say Paopao, which means bubbles in Chinese, offers a free internet without censorship. It has an official site that was blocked by the Chinese censors soon after its launch last February, but there are several unblockable mirror sites hosted by encrypted cloud services. A network of prominent journalists and media and tech experts both inside and outside China, contribute to these sites.
This is Glenn Hauser's World of Radio.
This is World of Radio number 1743. Our non-commercial website brings you much more information, including archives of DX Listening Digest, the latest issue of which, number 17-42, provides the material which I summarize on this program. Our thanks this week for financial support from Craig Anderson in Wisconsin, who says, "Thank you for your great service to the SWL community. I've listened for years to your broadcasts and have enjoyed the information you provide." He sent a contribution via PayPal to woradio@yahoo.com. One may also contribute by U.S. dollar check or money order in the P-mail to P.O. Box 1684, ENID, OK, 73702. World of Radio has another new time, thanks to Jeff White at WRMI, and a new frequency. It's Sundays at 1000 UT on 5850. This is on the antenna aimed 355 degrees, almost due north, which means it crosses the eastern U.S., exiting at Cleveland, Ohio, up across Hudson Bay, and across the pole through Ulaanbaatar, Mongolia, Chongqing, China, Hanoi, Vietnam, Phnom Penh, Cambodia, and Singapore. Of course, by then, if the signal is still propagating, it will have spread out a great deal. I'd be very interested to hear how well we're being heard, especially in Asia, for that broadcast. Sundays at 10 UT on 5850. Charles Harlick also points out that World of Radio can now be reached via iTunes for podcasts. It actually links to the podcasts from rmrc.de. There's been a great deal of outraged controversy in Ireland about the upcoming closure of their Longwave 252 service of RTE, notably from the Catholic Church, who apparently think a lot of people depend on it for church services, and also from elderly expats in the UK who depend on that longwave transmitter as their only link to home. And finally, as of October 15th, we hear from Mike Terry at RTE News reports, RTE has postponed the closure of the longwave radio service. It was evident more time is needed to engage with groups affected. The closure has been postponed until 19 January 2015. Around 01 UT, we always hear co-channel interference and a heterodyne from two stations on almost the same frequency around 6134.8. Radio Santa Cruz in Bolivia, and Radio Aparecida in Brazil. Too bad they fight over the frequency instead of spreading out. However, in the NASFA flash sheet, Mark Taylor in Wisconsin has heard something else. During the following hour, on October 11th at 02:36, he reports Radio Madagascar on 6134.7. There was a het for about 10 minutes, and the flute music came up at 02:36. Speech apparently in the Malagasy language. It faded back down after another 10 minutes. This corresponded with dawn in central Madagascar. However, a bit later, there's yet another station on 6135 and presumably not off frequency. Afia Darfur, the Hello Darfur service, as transmitted via Vatican. That's reported by John Cooper, Pennsylvania, also in the NASFA flash sheet, on October 9th at 0305 with an ID. As for Radio Aparecida, it was measured on 6134.691 by Wolfgang Büschel in Germany, October 12th, at 0700 UT, with a morning phone-in talk show parallel to several other frequencies of theirs between 07 and 7:45. In the British DX Club, Alan Pennington says, contrary to what was previously announced, the relay of Voice of Mongolia in English via Call Germany has been extended until December 31st, at least on 3985 and 6005. Maybe they had good feedback from listeners. I was hearing clear reception at 1730 to 18 UT, October 14th on 6005 for their English relay. The schedule also shows 19 to 19:30 daily on 3985. However, the 14:30 broadcast on 7310 was shown as having ended at the original date of October 5th. However, Christian Milling via ADX, via Christoph Ratzer, replies that that broadcast is also continuing until the end of the year. All this is discussed in German by them, but the broadcasts from Mongolia relayed are in English. The extension is because of, they say, an overwhelming number of reports received. Ron Howard in California was pleased to find no interference from China for a change on 7345, a very nice surprise, allowing him to hear Tuzin Radio in Myanmar. Monday, October 13th, from tune-in at 1211 until sign-off at 1330 in the clear the whole way. However, at 1243, the Chinese number station was on 7345 upper sideband, but Myanmar was still heard on lower sideband. And again on October 14th until sign-off at 1330, another day without CNR1 QRM to Myanmar. Station YHWH, the pro-Yahweh and anti-Christ pirate, is reported by Bob LaRose in California until sign-off at 1559 UT, October 11th on 9610. And I heard them opening just after 0200 UT, October 12th on 7340. And a bit later, it was just 5 kilohertz away from Vatican Radio as he was denouncing the Catholics. It's still rarely reported, and I've yet to hear it, but Brian Clark in New Zealand reports the reactivated Radio del Pacifico in Lima, Peru, on 9674.86. Noted often, he says, since the 7th of September, for example at 0410 UT, with a lot of soft contemporary Christian music, initially poor but slowly improving. At 0457, extended program promos in Spanish, and IDs for Pacifico Radio with frequency and internet information. Koji Hashimoto in Japan reports Radio Free Sarawak on one of their previously used frequencies, 15460, October 10th at 1202 to 1214 in Ibon with no jamming. Followed up by Ivo Ivanov in Bulgaria proclaiming they have a new schedule. Until October 7th, they'd been broadcasting from 11 to 11.45 on 15.430 and 11.45 to 12.30 on 15.420 daily except Sundays. But now he says they're on three different frequencies, half an hour each between 11 and 12.30, 15.425, 15.460, and then 15.430. And these are also jammed. And the frequencies probably vary from day to day. As expected, the Radio Exterior de España did turn off all its shortwave broadcasts as of 2200 UT, October 14th. Actually, I was listening to one of the last frequencies, 17850, and after playing the interval signal just once, it went off at 2155 and 45 seconds. There's been a great deal of discussion about this in the past week, including a petition campaign at change.org, which you could still sign if you like, in case there's any chance of bringing it back. Many of us made a point of listening on shortwave to the final English broadcast to North America the previous evening, UT October 14th from midnight to midnight 55 on 6055. We can supposedly still hear English and other foreign languages via webcast or satellite. Maybe they don't have their act quite together yet because as of October 15th, Mike Cooper in Georgia says, a check of the website finds no way to hear the French broadcast live as promised. The posted RE schedule has Spanish at all hours, no sign of foreign language broadcast. October 12th at 0144, I was surprised to get a very good signal on 9830, where there's normally nothing. It turned out to be La Voz de Turquía, the voice of Turkey, in Spanish on the wrong frequency, instead of 9770. It turns out they had not changed frequency or antenna since closing the North American service a couple of hours earlier at 2250 on 9830. That also explains why Kenneth Zeke in Michigan in the Mayor Tip Sheet was hearing the English broadcast from Turkey at 1840 UT October 4th on 11835. That's the frequency which had been used during the previous hour for German. They failed to change to 9785 for English. Jerry Whitney in New York notified us that he has an official license from the FCC for an experimental transmitter on 1750 kHz with the call sign WH2XDE. He plans to test various digital modes and initially went on the air just before midnight UT October 16th, initially with Carrier and CW, and was soon picked up by many listeners, at least in the northeastern U.S. The locations are Victor or Pin Yan, both in New York State. I've received this from a concerned resident of Beaufort County, North Carolina, about repurposing the abandoned Greenville A site. The county is acquiring that property. They have great plans for turning it into a park, which I feel we don't need. Here are the numbers. There are 1,800 poles to be removed that support the transmission lines. If there were no cross arms or transmission lines on the poles, it would cost $200 per pole to remove them and fill the holes. To crash all the towers and leave the mess in place without cleanup, just carnage on the ground, would cost $250,000. To take down the towers and antennas and haul them away, $2 million or more. The poles for the transmission lines cannot be removed without the lines being down. The operation to remove the lines, even by a tower crew, is very, very labor-intensive. The wire is copper-welded. It's very hard to work with. If the end comes loose, it takes off like a spring and turns into a tangled-up mess in a big ball, even though it's been under tension for over 60 years. The building's air cooling and heating system need to be replaced, costing hundreds of thousands of dollars. More for the roof repair. Sewage treatment plant doesn't work. Plumbing needs to be redone. The electrical system is for 4,160 volts three-phase, which would have to be replaced. And get this. The old VOA transmitter building is loaded with black mold. You cannot stand to be in there for more than an hour before your lungs start to catch fire. And mowing the grass around the property would cost hundreds of thousands of dollars. The good scrap copper was stolen by the local meth heads about 3 years ago. The wire that is left, all copper-clad steel, is unwanted. The Chinese will take it, but at a minimum of 30,000 pounds. Who knows what it would take to make the structure livable. If they tore it down, it would be a monster. The floors are over 2 feet thick of poured concrete. The joint was built during the Cold War. Propagation outlook from Boulder, ANKNC is peaking at 20 and 5 October 21st, still 15 and 4 through the 24th. Solar flux peaking at 140 October 22nd to 25th and down to 120 by October 30th. Glenn Hauser here, concluding World of Radio 1743.